As most of you know that have been here through the years, I have taken typically the last Sunday of the year, and I like to reflect back on the previous calendar year. And it's, for those of you who are visitors or are still pretty new with us, this is very family-like, this Sunday, because we experience this time of reflecting together. It becomes an emotional journey for me in doing this, because to think back on my life, my wife and I, our children, grandchildren, extended families, it's emotional, but it's emotional to think about your lives. I kind of freeze frame, as they say, and I just, things God brings to my mind. I tried to keep some notes as the year went by, just to keep things, because there's well over 50 family units here now, meaning whether it be a single or whether it be a family, that's a family unit. There's over 50 of you, so I'm really at the tilt button. For those who used to play pinball, the machine is pretty much tilting. I can't hardly keep up, but it's a joy. It's a great blessing to do this, and it should be a time where we reflect together on the love of God and the ruling hand of God in our lives. Beloved, through the year 2019, the Lord has been your keeper. He is your keeper. Brother Lee, in speaking out of Habakkuk, was speaking on great truths that translate really well to the theme of today. Turn with me to Psalm 121. This will be our theme psalm for the day. 8 verses. The first two verses, in a sense, declare the promise of God to his care for his children when they look to him. But then 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 get specific. These are very personal. Probably one of these will jump out more perhaps than another today. Let it come with great help and encouragement. Let the Holy Spirit quicken it to you. Psalm 121, this is the word of God. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Blessed be his name. Let me pray. Father, we do bless your great name, knowing that these truths here have applied to us in the days of this calendar year. You have been with us. The Lord is our keeper. You're the one who preserves us. Our days, our breaths are in your hand. You're great and glorious in all your ways, worthy of all praise. Lord, today let this time be full of thanksgiving to God. Praise to you in our hearts, and as the day goes by, as we talk with each other, husband to wife, family members, brother to brother, let us give you the glory. And remember your loving kindnesses to us that are abundantly true through these months. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that lives for us, who's redeemed us forever. We bless you through him. Amen. Yes, we do come to the end of another year. I mean, these fly by, don't they? They really do. The sands of time are sinking, as we sing. Oftentimes, these years just seem to just fly by. But before I reflect on this past year, I need to borrow a generator from somebody. Anybody have a generator, an extra generator? I don't really need one, actually. 20 years ago, right now, you couldn't get a generator in America. Anybody remember where I'm going with that? 20 years ago, right now, good luck. You better hope Uncle Walter or somebody has a generator, because you're not going to be able to get one. Y2K was 2 days away. The world would come to an end. Every system known to man would collapse, and you would need a generator. For those young ones, you don't have no idea what I'm talking about. For those who are in the IT and the code world, you know much more about this than I could ever dream of. But that's 20 years ago. God's on the throne. We still live. We're still in Him. So it does show you how quickly time goes by for those of us who remember Y2K like it was about 10 years ago. But as the time goes by, it's important for us to remember, to reflect on the days that God has given us. It is important. Christians before us were really good about this. Christians through the ages, they reflected, they recorded more, they kept journals. They recorded the works of the Almighty in their lives and in the lives of His people. So we need to be good about this too. So this that we do today is maybe one small way of doing that. I don't honestly know of any other church that does this. So I'm not sure why I ever got into doing this. But here we are some 12 or 14 years later doing these reflections. But I want them to be a stirring for you and for myself. God commands us to remember. In His Word, He commands us to remember His works of old and His works in our lives. We are to remember His mercies and His deliverances, things we've been through, His provisions, His great provisions, His steadfast love, His carrying us along, and His daily kindnesses, His mercies, His ever watchful eye, and His Spirit being with us. He is the one that has us. So in Psalm 121 that we just read, the psalmist is declaring the safety or the foundation, the stability for those who put their trust in the Lord. Because there will be hard things. There will be joyful things. There will be new days. There will be things that you just have to stay with it. You have to plow along. You have to go on with God. The righteous shall live by faith. They keep going. They keep trusting Him. So whether your days have been good or bad, depending on what month I may be speaking to, or whether your days have been new things, or routine, all of it's under the divine care of the Almighty, our great God and Savior. So brothers and sisters, let's take a few moments to reflect on the days of 2019. First, I would like to very, very quickly hit some highlights on world and national events. Just things that'll come to your mind. We could go on for hours, obviously, but just a few things to reference. Second, I would like to touch some highlights about our church and the kindness of God in His flock this year. And then, as usual, I'd like to end the time on some highlights in your lives. I think I'm going to be able to quickly but touch on everybody here. I've gone through every list, backwards, upwards, from the bottom up, alphabetical. I've gone through Jeff's old list, David's list, Lee's sent list. I had lists all over the place. If I did not get to you today, it's not because I don't love you, I'm not thinking about you. It's just somewhere in those lists I lost you. But I have tried to do that for all of us together. And these thoughts could come, as I say each year, the thoughts could come from Lee or Jeff or Alan or Matt. They would do it in their own way. But these really come from us as shepherds and our love for you and our care for you. The things that I'll think on might be one event that's to you not as big. There may be 100 or 200 other events that would come to your mind about your year. But these are things that I have noted as the year has gone by. First, the world scene. Things happening in the world. Sin and destruction, misery, agonies. We know that. And we see this manifest in different ways. In March, the Ethiopian Airlines, you may remember this, went down. 157 people got up that day and boarded that plane at some point. Probably did not realize that was their last day. Young and old, all were taken. All on that day died in that plane crash. It does speak to us, doesn't it? This is the day the Lord has given us. In April, the 850-year-old Notre Dame Cathedral had a devastating fire. Anybody remember that? Lots of devastation and then lots of opinions on who should pay for the fix. I wonder if they figure that out. In July, very, very hard things happening there in Hong Kong, right? Protesters marching, lots of unrest in Hong Kong through these months. You would see news pieces and you look at it and it reminds me of some things when I was a boy growing up and we would see TV, limited media, but we would see pictures into unrest across the world. And in September, Hurricane Dorian hammered the Bahamas. Some of you remember, some of you may know people, get reports from missionaries or others in the Bahamas. As I remember, it's Category 5, which gets up to 185 to 200 miles an hour, the winds. God's word says he brings the wind out of his treasuries. He maketh the lightning. Right? He brings the wind. So we could go on and on, world events, things that we look into now because we're so connected. We feel it. We see it. We realize our days, our frailty is right there in his hand. What better place for it to be in than with God? He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. On the national scene, lots happening in our country. Lots of turbulent things, political events. Oh my, this could go on for a while. In January, a record number of women were elected to Congress. The most women in the United States ever elected to Congress. Changing of things happening in governmental levels, philosophical levels. It's a unique window of time that is happening right now. We've had the longest government shutdown ever. Started in late 18, went into 19. You remember that? 35 days, over a month of government shutdown, which is always a quandary, isn't it? Well, then who's running what? How does that work? A government shutdown, but there was certainly many, many, many who felt the results of that. The impeachment process, that's been the big political story really from almost January to now. The impeachment process against President Trump has gone on in hearings and committees or whatever and this and that. It's been unbelievable the amount of media and effort and energy and time and money spent on that. Not that I'm downplaying the significance, but it's gripped the political realm of this country. The House of Representatives voted in December, on December 18th, in favor of those articles of impeachment. So it has been a tumultuous year in that sense. The word impeach is the second most looked up word of the year. Isn't that amazing? People trying to figure out what in the world is this going to mean. The second most common word looked into this year. That's at the political level. Many, many other things come to your mind, I'm sure. Social tragedies. Oh, my. Pages and pages, right, of social tragedies. Senseless shootings continue. Senseless, ungodly, lost, hopeless people shooting and killing others, happening not just in America, beloved, all over the world. Unrest. Troubled people. People that have been demonically influenced. Evil. It's happening all the time. You even hate to say it happens so much, you kind of get used to hearing about it. It shouldn't be that way. God have mercy. In Kenya, 21 people shot and killed. In New Zealand, dozens shot. Several lives taken. In California, at least a couple of schools. There have been more. I didn't do all the full research, but school shootings. Down to the smaller children, those kind of schools, as well as high schools. And you remember in El Paso, I think this was in August, 22 killed in El Paso. Senseless killings because of sin and people with evil in their heart. May God have mercy on the families and friends of those who've had to live through that. Then, anybody hear about the Project Possible expedition? Nathan here? Project Possible. These are the great enthusiasts for climbing mountains. And they had a Project Possible expedition where hundreds, climbed the highest mountain in the world, Mount Everest, to get to its summit. This will blow your mind because hundreds were going, and when they got to the top, they lined up. Seriously, just looked like somebody waiting for a rock concert. They're lined up across the mountain, hundreds of them, to get to the summit, to be there, take a selfie or whatever they do. And while in line, two of those climbers died because they had to wait so long. They could climb Mount Everest, but because of the drama of it all, two lives died, not in climbing, in waiting. That's sad. What was to be a dramatic ending turned out to be a very sad thing. Social tragedies happening all over, including in this town, in this community that we live in or live around. Those who died, those who passed, there's always dozens and dozens of names, prominent political people, people in the entertainment business, others that have influenced society in some way, writers, journalists, whatever, sports figures. John Paul Stevens, he was a Supreme Court justice for 35 years, appointed by Gerald Ford. He died at the age of 99, 35 years on the Supreme Court. Amazing. Bart Starr, who knows who Bart Starr was? Quarterback, famous quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. He died at age 85. For the record, he won 5 NFL titles in one decade. Nobody else has done it, including Tom Brady. 5 titles in one decade. They start teaming the great quarterbacks and all. Not that I'm a football guy, but Bart Starr was pretty good, apparently. I was a little boy when he was playing. H. Ross Perot passed this year. A Texas billionaire and a 2-time presidential candidate. Those of you in Texas would know of him in different realms. Age 89. I.M. Pei died. Who knows who I.M. Pei was? There's 2 names here I'm curious. I.M. Pei, I thought this would happen. One of the most renowned architects in the world. Just shows you how limited that realm is really in the society. I have to remind people in the industry every now and then, it's really not that big what you're doing. You know, it's really not that big. But brilliant in his conceptualization ideas. 102, I.M. Pei designed several structures in this region, modern looking pieces of architecture. And Carol Spinney. Anybody heard of Carol Spinney? Hey, children, do y'all know who Big Bird is? Who's Big Bird? Anybody know who Big Bird is? Well, the guy inside it for 50 years was a guy named Carol Spinney. He died this year. He was the creator, and he was a man in the costume. So when I was little and I saw him, and when you've been little and you saw him, we're all seeing Mr. Spinney inside Big Bird. Isn't that funny? Fun, just to reflect back. Here's a guy that gave that part of his life for that form of literature, if you want to call it that, entertainment. But closer to our world, in our circles, Brother Rudy Ray lost his wife, Toni Ray, just a few months back. Her battle against cancer. And that was hard. We see the saints go through things and we put our hope in God. She's with him. She is in an infinitely better place now. And her husband knows that and rejoices for that. But that was hard to release her. There's a few unique things, some quirky things. There's always quirky things. You look, did that really happen this year? Last year, you remember they put one of the Teslas, they put a Tesla up in space. And like, who's wasting money doing that? Well, there's always crazy things like that. And some of them are funny and some of them are just head scratching. The government shutdown, as I mentioned earlier, President Trump had the idea, well, the government shut down, but I'm going to have the Clemson football team, national champions, come to the White House. And he funded their meal. Anybody remember this? What did they have? Steaks and potatoes? No. Fast food. Just pull up a picture. It's tables of fast food. I'm thinking, Mr. Trump, I thought you're the guy that's got deep pockets. This guy came out of his own money, but fast food? And those Clemson guys came in there and wiped that stuff out, I guess. Fast food in the White House. Something about that sounds kind of funny. In April, where's Brother Josh? Where is he? Somewhere in here? In April was the first picture taken of the black hole. Now that's a hole, as I understand it, in a galaxy. And there's a picture of this black hole, God's creation, right? And it's 55 million light years away from the Earth. I read that and you read that and we rejoice in our great God. I don't marvel at the lens or what they did to take the picture. Genesis, he created the stars also. He created it all. It's amazing if you want to pull up that picture later today. In the National Spelling Bee, there were 8 co-champions. How do you have 8 co-champions? They were too good. There's a picture of these 8 co-champions. The committee, the group, the organizers, literally, beloved, ran out of words tough enough for these kids. And eight of them said, you guys are too good. Y'all winners. And so they celebrated together. I can promise you I did not have that problem yesterday or when I was a kid or today. I don't have the problem of understanding how to spell words that well. But what a fun thing. The spelling bee got busted by smart kids. July marked the 50-year date of what? The Apollo 11 mission. Brother Michael, hopefully Michael and Auntie and the family are on their way back. They're going to try to be here tonight for the fellowship, but I used to like to visit with him a little bit. 50 years ago, I want to see a show of hands. Who remembers seeing on TV, black and white, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walking on the moon? I got to see a few hands here. Live. Who saw it? Yes. There's some of us have very vivid memories. July of 1969. That was huge in the advancement of certain things in our country, but in the world. But again, they're just beholding God's creation. We live and move and have our being in Him. Doesn't matter if you're here on Mars or where you are. They're all His. It's all His. But here's my favorite unique thing, and then we'll move on. NASA's Curiosity rover. They have a rover on Mars named Curiosity. Sounds like a pretty clever thing of doing. But Curiosity has been up on Mars since 2012, roaming around, guys, cruising around, just driving around. And it takes selfies. Now, the vanity of our world is still happening now out there. Curiosity cruises around, gets to point, and it takes a selfie and sends it back to Earth. Only in America could we come up with something like that. So if you want to see selfies of Curiosity, you can pull them up and see some of his journey. We're using that gender kind of carefully here. Its journey on Mars. Got to be careful. People get too caught up in personifying things. Anyway, that's a funny one. So that's world and national reflections. Briefly, the needs of our day and the struggles that are continuing to be deep and only helped, only healed in Christ Jesus. No other way. But here at Providence Chapel, just some highlights of our year. In January, Jeff and Mac went to Portland. Is Mac right? Jeff back there? He's probably in the hall. You remember what for? Jeff Hebert was ordained as an elder. That church that we've been a part of now for, what, 3 years. They now have an elder. This whole year has been Jeff Hebert, and that little church, that little flock, we continue to be a part of. But Mac and Jeff got to go there in January. In March, Dr. Joel Beakey was here again. What an honor. In April, Jeffrey Thomas was here again. I mean, these are pillar brothers in the faith, men defending the truth, preaching, living, walking in holiness, real men, blessed brothers in the faith. In April, we had the fellowship conference out at Camp Copus. That's the 9th year. Linda's not here, but the 9th year we've been at Camp Copus. Amazing. God willing, in 2020, we'll have our 10th year at Camp Copus. In June and July, we had various missionaries, and I can't give names for security reasons. But if you just reflect back, beloved, of the men who came and spoke to us, missionaries, men who are living their lives for the gospel, and it may cost them their lives for the gospel. But you remember some of those if you try to think back, guests that we had that spoke and shared with us. It's always stirring, isn't it, to listen to them and hear and here are the things that are happening on the other side of the world and the way the Holy Spirit is bringing men and women into Christ. He saves from every tribe and every kindred and every language. The gospel is alive and blazing and alive and real for all mankind today, just like it was in Acts or in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news. Those men are living. In September, we had the women's retreat. Cindy Curran came and was with the women again. That was special. Always, always special. Her husband, Don, was here with us this time. In October, we had the men's retreat. And Brother Mark LeCour was with us again. That was really awesome and special to have him with us. And then in October, we just had that barely known guy, Sinclair Ferguson, come by, swing by and see us. Think of that. Think of just the blessing of that. The mutual giving and receiving with that brother, that man of God, Dr. Beakey, Jeff Thomas, and Sinclair, those kinds of men, that's the kindness of God, to let us have fellowship. Have times with men like that. Let them open God's word and speak to us and build us up. So those are some of the quick highlights here at Providence Chapel. Now the events in your life, in my life, how we sojourn together. And I'll use Psalm 121 as some of the themes, four themes that I want to take from this psalm. Hard days and joyful days. Those are the first two. Some hard days that many of you, of course, in all of our lives at some level, they're hard days. And in joyful days, they're all of us at different times and in different ways experience the joy, the fullness of joy from God and His Spirit. But many of you did face hard things, hard days, hard weeks, hard stretches. But God sustained you. He keeps us. We are kept by the power of God. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Yea, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." He's not an every now and then Savior. He is always, forever with us. I am His and He is mine. Hard days come. Verse 3 in this psalm, it said, "The Lord will not suffer thy foot to be moved." The picture is that you wouldn't fall, that you wouldn't be lost, that you wouldn't just fall off the mountain or whatever. The Lord will not allow your steps or your ways to be moved or to be lost, ruined. You hear that? As hard as things can be, as heavy as things can be. For Jennifer Chambliss and the children, it's been some hard stretches this year. Hard stretches. God has encouraged her and brought much help in times of need. Only He can do that. For Jason Courtney, you know, as a church, you've heard things that he's struggling with, and now praying that God has really given him grace there at the Freedom House. But Jason, it's been a hard year, very hard year, and the brothers with him at the Providence House have had to grow in grace through this time. May God do great things for him. And remember to pray for him. I say that to my own heart for Brother Jason. Stephen and Kathy, ups and downs and family and health issues and extended family. There are hard days. There are hard days. I know, and I can think back of some times that were difficult for them. Greg, Cram, your ongoing medical struggles, difficult, hard medical problems that Greg goes through. Nick and Jamie, long days and nights. I remember being in y'all's home and y'all giving me more of the specifics of Isaiah's care. I mean, brothers, sisters, it's a 24/7 deal. Just keeping, and he's young and he's got life and there's things he wants to probably do and be and think about. But it's real, the care for him. And I don't ever know if to call him a long night or a short night. To me, if you don't get much sleep through the night, that is a short night. That's not a long night. A long night should be a good night of rest. But for Nick and Jamie, and for the family, and for Big Brother, they have to walk through these things, and they have to look to God. I remember when our other kids were young, and we had the blue eyes from their dad, that they always got croup. Krista would remember that. The brown eyed girls didn't. But Bethany and Jabin always got, and I remember laying in bed through the night with them, and a little girl sounds like she's been smoking cigars for 50 years, right? That cough, they get that croup cough. And you're there as a parent. This is what Nick feels, what Jamie feels, and you're wanting for your children for grace and help. I would lay there next to Bethany, and she would struggle to breathe when she was a little girl with that croup. Everything would close up on her. Ed and Melissa. It's been a tough year for Ed and Melissa. We need to remember them. She had her neck surgery. God brought her through that in His loving kindness and mercy. And Ed's continued medical needs, it's really hard. The care and the care for them and stability and good nights and stable days, Lord, help them. He sustains. He gives grace. Baker and Jane, and particularly the ongoing care for your mother, God's given her length of days. Really amazing. It's amazing. She's in Albuquerque. He has a sister in Albuquerque, but he's here. The family's here. So many of the grandchildren are here. And so there's that struggle. and Baker would go, and Jane would be here, and you just feel it. You feel that for your parents or grandparents when you have aging family members. You want to love them. You want to help them. It's right. It's God honoring, and there's challenges that come with it. David and Marisa, you lost your stepfather, as I remember, right at the beginning of the year. I can't remember the exact day. And you've reflected over that. You've shared at some of the prayer meetings. You talk about that. And Brother David, your job, that ending of an amazing chapter, incredible career that God has been with you. But those are hard things. We know that God's with us, but we still feel them. They're hard. Some of them last a long time. Hardly a week goes by without Krista and I with tears thinking about our mothers or even her dad that we lost so close together. But God gives grace for Victoria and Mary and Luis and you young ladies, things that you're going through, things that have been hard for you, the Morrison young ladies. But the way it bonds you together as sisters, and of course Esther who's married, and the bond, and the way that you should come together and be close and love each other in Christ Jesus and strengthening each other's hands in God, as we saw with Jonathan and David in the scriptures. Learn to do that. We have to learn to do that together as couples, as families, but particularly as brother to brother and sister to sister. You girls continue to learn to do that. Barbara Perry, or as I like to use Michael and Karen's phrase, Mom. Mom lost a granddaughter this year. And those are hard days. And I've appreciated how she shared things. You love your children and your grandchildren. Boy, do you. I have 7 of them, grandchildren. It's precious. The Lord's with you, Mom. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. Tom and Betty, feeling the load for Maria. I'm so glad Maria's here. She's back there somewhere with little Benjamin and Gabby, who's not so little anymore. But Tom and Betty, you feel it. You feel the for her and his condition and the needs there, and the some of the pressures that are constantly weighing down, can weigh down. You feel it. Tom and Betty feel this. A lot of Tom's communication to us for prayer about their son Joel. I remember when Joel was born, just hoping in God to arrest him, get him, rescue that young man, set him on the path of life. But Tom and Betty have to go through this together. There's a lot of nights when you go to bed, you feel it. It's heavy. Jonathan Thompson, I hadn't seen Brother Jonathan today, but the constant burden, those of you who are close to him, the constant burden that he feels for his son, JD, constantly struggles, needs for the Holy Spirit to get him, just pull him out of darkness into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nathaniel and Caitlin, I saw Nathaniel, I know Caitlin's out in the hallway, but long days as parents, or short days, as I was saying earlier, health and sickness and little ones and wear and tear and care. It goes on and on and on. But God is with you as a dad, as a mom, as a couple. Look to Him. Get your strength in Him. Find the truth and let it be a joy and a help to you in those long days of laboring for young children. It is a good and faithful labor. God has it. For His name's sake. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. It's His gift. And we need to be reminded of that. Kevin and Sherry, how dear they are. So few of you have ever been with them, but they've been a part of this church in 2008, longer than most of you. They've been a part of this church. But, you know, she had a recent fall, and the concern about could that created other problems in her health, and Kevin's care for her and lifting her and moving her. But you, if you're with her, you will be so blessed to be with them, to be with her, full of grace, full of the love of Christ. It's just beautiful to be there. God's with them, but they've had some hard days. Second, many of you have had some joyful days, are living in them maybe right now, or just 3 days ago, or 2 weeks ago, or 2 months ago. Joyful days where you feel God's divine overshadowing, that He's covered you, His blessing, His protection. You feel it. Verse 5, the Lord has been your shade on your right hand. That's symbolic, right? This is a metaphor. This is a picture. God is covering you under His care. He hideth me in the cleft of the rock. He has me. Yesterday, I was in the car with my son-in-law and my daughter and four of my grandchildren. We were driving, and a car cut across I-35, and you felt like they hit his bumper. And my daughter, who was in the middle seat, said, you could just feel our lives right there. What am I trying to say? You just feel God's covering. I said to my son-in-law who was driving, I've had so many times in commuting through the years where I felt like God just put his hand between my car and another car. You believe that? I do. I've seen it. God does that. He is the shade upon our right hand. He is with us, and He gives joy, and He gives protection. He gives seasons of rest. Sometimes you kind of have a hard stretch, and you come into a new stretch, and God just says, now rest. I trust that Nick and Jamie have some of those moments. And Isaiah says, I feel really good. And God gives much help. But you've had joyful days. It's fun to hear about them. It's fun for y'all to share them and us to share in them together. Part of the reason we get together tonight and have our enjoyable evening together is to have joy in the Lord together. Jared and Joanne. Brother, is Jared here? Is he? No, there he is. When you shared about the medication for Matthew, it was all you could do to contain yourself. Research and development, all this is going on over here under the Almighty. And here's a boy going from boyhood to manhood. And God says in his time, yes, this can help this young man. And you shared it. You knew it was God that did it. It was joy. Made me think of Roger Udarin and those men with Jim Elliot, and they're laboring for those natives. And they would sometimes, it was just medication that they were able to give to those people to help them. And that was a sign of the real, true God that loved them. Think of that. His wonderful brother Jared and sister Joanne to have you share those things with us like that. Leslie, you finally got this guy engaged. No, you got this guy, saw this guy get engaged. What a thing. You think engagement's good? Wait till marriage. Marriage is wonderful. But you as a mom, when y'all came here, how old were you? 16 maybe? 15? Barely driving? Now marriage. And Allie, I wish Allie was here with you. But the joy of a mom seeing the two of y'all that have been so precious to her, seeing you prepare for marriage. That's obviously on you to prepare your hearts. Prepare your heart unto the Lord. Look to Christ. Learn from Him. Follow His example. Eric Gentry, back there in the back. The connection, the joy of you connecting with your extended family. That's been the Lord's mercy there. Reconnecting, learning to reconnect and bond together. Just keep doing it in your way. Let the Holy Spirit do it. Jonathan Hebert, your year here, you're growing, serving with the team back there. New things for you. We're going to get you a bona fide Texas birth certificate and try to show you were born here now. You tell your mom and dad I said that. But this joy of having you and you guys laboring together, what you have as young men is special. You'll see it more in 10 or 20 or 30 years. Very, very special. And we see it, and we just see it as a short hourglass. And then boom, God takes you on. Marriage, life, career, whatever. Jonathan and Elena, I don't think they're here today. They might be listening. Some of the saints, if you're listening today, I hope you're just able to enter in and joyfully be a part of this. Jonathan and Elena, they moved, and when that moving triggered some new things for them. They can host family, they can do things, and they're loving that. And it's been a blessing to see them flourish in that, enjoy that. So it's joyful days. God has given them a covering. Their children are under that covering because of the Lord's kindness. Nick and Katie, I know that they're battling sickness today. But Nick and Katie, I was with them recently and with the children. It was wonderful. There's just a joy there. There's a sense of God's with them. They've been joyful days. These are joyful chapters. Be fruitful. Keep abounding. Go on with the Lord. Michael and Antia, they gave Emma away for marriage to Nathan. Everybody remember that? Most of you were there. The joy of seeing, and I say gave her away. You know what I mean by that. She goes from her parents and her dad's covering, and she's joined to her husband. What a wonderful thing. And it was a beautiful, beautiful wedding. May it be a God-exalting marriage. It's great to have a good wedding. I'm all for good weddings, but I am much more for great Christ-exalting marriages. Man, you want to start speaking theology. That's what marriage should be communicating to this perishing world. Marriage. And so they had the joy of seeing another child marry, Michael and Antia. For Krista and I don't consult my wife when I make notes on what was special or what happened this year. We've had some years we were in those hard days, deaths, etc. But I think for us, it was the joy of seeing our son-in-law, Jake, and my daughter, Charity, and all that he labored for, trying to write a movie script and all that, that whole journey, and just being there for him and encouraging him, speaking into his life, loving them, traveling some with them, and just letting him be what God wanted him to be in it. Writing a story as a young guy, right when he's married my daughter, 12 and a half years ago, and then to see a movie hit the screen. The director had said to him, I've written 10 scripts. None of them ever have gone to the big screen. He said, young man, you've written one script in your life, and it went to the big screen. It was mercy of God. There were some amazing stories that my son-in-law, Jake, would share with Krista and I about people that were impacted. I mean, unbelievable things that people, they just got stopped in their tracks, and reality that I need to see Christ. That was a special, special series of events for Krista and I this year, just to be with our daughter and son-in-law and trust and see God bring it to fruition in His time for His glory. Third category, many of you had wonderful days of guidance and care. So first was hard days, but your foot will not stumble. Second, He's our shade, He's our covering, He gives joy, He gives rest, He gives peace. Third, He preserves in guiding you. Your activities that you're about. Where are you? What are you laboring in? God's guiding and caring over that. It's His preservation. That's a key word. God's preserving you. He says in verse 7, the Lord will preserve thee twice. He shall preserve thy soul. He will guide and be with you through it all. That's what He's saying to us. Brother Ryan, he was right there earlier. Ryan in this mission trip. It was incredible. Remember when he was sharing up here just a few months ago? The mission trip. And he's talking about winding around mountainous areas. He said, among some of the most dangerous roads in the world. And the world would say, why are you hazarding yourself for that? Because people need the Lord Jesus Christ and they need help. That's about as good an answer as there is in humanity. And Ryan got that experience. God preserved him. We could have gotten a note or a call and said he died with six others because their van or their vehicle toppled over the side. But God kept him. The Lord will preserve thee. Darius and his work, your work and the provision of work and the learning, the steadiness and the activity, and this really speaks to all of us, but let God preserve and guide you in your work and what you're about. Whatever you put your hands to, put it to with all that you have. Darius is growing in that and working as a part of the team here that helps on technology and all the things that we have here that we're blessed by. We need to make it a regular habit to say to those men, thank you for all you do for us. Michael and Karen, the Lord will preserve thee. You could speak for years about that theme. God's mercy in the China Bridge ministry and the Jordan ministry. Incredible, really. And we hear about it, we look into it. Lee's been with you on some of that, obviously, that are wonderful. But you're here, yes, you still live here, right? I want one of the deacons to double check. They don't have any boxes packed. They're still here. They're here. And yet you're here for our benefit, hopefully for your benefit, and then God sends you. You launch. It's magnificent. It's God. It's His kingdom going forth. His gospel, His glory. And we love y'all and cherish your faithfulness. God has preserved thee and is preserving you and your labor, that you're fruitful in every good work. Brian and Michelle had guidance and care. 20-year anniversary, is that right? Y'all celebrated your 20th year. Think of Michelle, what she's been able to bear with and go through these wonderful 20 years. Hardly, right? Your love, your friendship. I was reflecting back. Some of you, I was writing, I scratched through one thing and I thought of another thing. I was trying to remember. But I remember the joy of Brian sharing about them getting to go. It should be that way, right? Should be. There should be the high praises of God. I said to one of my daughters when they married at the wedding ceremony, your honeymoon should be such a testimony of Christ with his bride that people your age or whatever should look into it and say, what is it here that's different? Yeah, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ can be that preeminent in marriage. Yes, he should be. He should be in all that we do. So our work and all that we're about in marriage and raising children should be to the glory of God. And we rejoice. 20 years. May the Lord give you another great 20 for his namesake. Daniel Freeland. Steady days of work. Now, Daniel, you're just a steady. I like steadies. You are steady. But and just stay about what God has called you to. You guys, run with him. Be what you're about in the Lord. Your work, your ministry and help and things here at the church. You're sharpening one another. I know this theme keeps coming back to you single guys, but make these days productive and preparatory to what's ahead. And Daniel, your faithfulness in that is a part of the picture of God's preservation. Miss Verna is getting to know the other women. I like hearing about y'all's gatherings with Sister Ray and the different ladies. That's a special thing. You just have friendship, and I would love at some point to hear Miss Verna's sharing about those times together, and Mom gets to be in on that. But what a neat thing. I kind of want to just show up one time, sit over on the side of the room and listen to them. Beautiful thing. Friendship, right? A friend loveth at all times. We should. Joel and Laura, preserving and guiding you, your life and your labor at the abortion clinic. The mercies of God. It hit me this week. There are going to be young boys, there are going to be girls that are going to live and grow up and never know that these two people came and stood in the way. I'm going to use it. So they stood in the gap. They influenced a mom to not abort the child, and they're going to live. And there are going to be people that grow up and have life because these two yielded unto God, and I know others, but think of that. Wow. Now that's something when you think about it that way. A kid is going to grow up, maybe know the one true and great Savior because somebody cares. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you for your labors. Preserving you. Jeff and Tommy, trusting God's preservation for Tommy's health concerns. Those are real. They're heavy. They're big, unknown. But God is preserving you, your life, your beautiful family, your labor, your faithfulness. And God is with you. You don't know what exactly Tommy's dealing with, nor do we. But God does. God has her. Husbands, we feel that, don't we, when we don't know what our wives are going through. It's hard. I mean, our calling is to lay down our lives for them, and then they struggle with things, and we just have to trust God. They have a greater husband than us. They have the husband, Christ Jesus, that loves them and is with them. And so Jeff and Tommy, God's preserving and guiding and caring for them, and he's with them. John and Kathy, full days. Lots going on. You got these three guys to deal with. Wonderful family. Full days of care. And the few times I get to be there for those prayer meetings, just the activities. But those activities are a part of God's guidance and care. They're real. But they need to be full of life and purpose and seeing these guys, what's ahead for them. What will you guys remember in 20 years? It's a faithful labor, training and nurturing children, sons, and a little girl, having Verna with you. God's preserving. Josh, did Josh have to slip out? Might not have been feeling well, I don't know. Josh went to Japan, y'all remember that? Josh, his travels to Japan and what God is opening up to him. He could have probably talked about that picture of the hole in the galaxy, right? In some ways, Josh not hearing that might have been helpful today. We might have lost him for an hour on that. No more, Josh, no more. but Josh, and God's with him, and he has ambitions for where his life is going to be, what he's going to apply his mind and his thinking skills to. But God is preserving. We live under him and with him. Patton lives, the Lord giving you peace, renewed peace in your work. I've just seen it. I've seen it at times. You're just testifying. And God says, I've got it. I'm with you. Trust me. He will be with you. He says, I will preserve you. I will keep you. And you're living it, knowing it. You're experiencing it, talking about it. You come home from work. God did this. I love that phrase. And God did this. I ought to talk that way. Sister Ray. I always tend to break down when Sister Ray is with us. Boy, you talk about preserving. We're not talking about a few years. We're talking about decades. And when Sister Ray shares, and she'll point, you remember how she does, she's sharing from her heart such glorious stories of what God has done through the years. She's speaking in that language, and then God did this. God did this. It's beautiful. She's a living sermon or a living testimony to us. And we ought to sponge that up and love her and receive for her, from her. Mac and Linda and preserving them and keeping them and their constant ministry to others. I think particularly of those last few weeks as Rudy Ray's wife, Tony, was dying. And Mac and Linda being such a close friend to him and to them. It's a real experience to drive and go in and see somebody and you think, this is probably it. It is. But when you're doing it with a fellow pilgrim that's on their way to Zion under the kingdom of God, you're seeing it, and they're going through. And you're in a sense in awe watching it. And Mac and Linda there with Rudy and Tony and continuing to minister to Rudy, Mac's love and care and communications to him. Preserving, it's God helping, God preserving, God giving guidance and care from them, to them, and out from them to others. And Nick and Erica, sustaining you, Nick, at work and travel and family, trying to sow the gospel. Beloved, when we're with family and with those that are outside, right, we have to declare it, but we have to live it. We have to live it. We have to walk in the truth in y'all's lives. And you're going on, letting God guide you and care for you and letting you live it out. And let it be real and life expressive to others. Gospel reality in you. The Lord is with you. And last category, many of you had new days. New days. Some of you like change. You get bored if it's things are steady. Guy like me, probably Brother Michael, I don't want to. Change is sometimes not the easiest thing for to deal with. They're reworking the building. I work and they're redoing. They've got stuff flying all over and boxes and all. It kind of makes me unsettled. I wonder if I'm ever going to see that stuff again. If you follow me, change. Things that change, but God gives new days. The Lord takes us on. And sometimes it's just comes out of nowhere, and sometimes we see it. We know he's opening new things. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. Verse 8, he's preserving. He's opening new ways, new paths. And it's all of his leading. Clint and Sarah, a new baby. Another child, another young one, another one to raise in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Tanner and Callie, another baby. We have several new babies in the church, little ones. And I mean, they'll be this little, and then they'll be up here in the front, and then they'll be asking for the keys to Dad's car before long. Trust me, been there. It happens quickly. But God gives you all these children. Cody and Jill, new baby. New life, a new child to nurture, to cherish, and to realize I'm training them in the ways of Christ, where I'm going to speak the truth and I'm going to trust God to bring it to reality to them. You can't force that in anybody, but you can speak it and live it and trust God to have them. And that's your hope. Our hope's in God. Some plant, some water. God to do it. God to make them his. Philip and Megan, I know they were back there, their first child. And they've been, I see you, brother. First little boy. Happens to be your grandchildren, your grandchild, right? But it's been full, special, new. But some hard days, right, brother? Some hard nights. I know it. When I see it on you guys, see it on your moms and dads, I see it, I feel it. Sometimes I say to Krista, oh, I have memories. Oh, man. Not just the croup nights, other times, and struggles, and it's real, but love these children that God's gift to you. Lee and Amber moved to the new home, moved a little bit further east. It's a new chapter. It's a new way for them and their connection as a family unit and to the Dennises and just the whole ministry layers of their lives, Lee and Amber. It's a very, very special new chapter, and it's a part of them going on with God, because our lives are moving in Him. He's drawing us onward and upward in Christ Jesus, and it's a blessing to hear and to know what they do for the saints just right there in their home. Such a biblical picture, such an example for all of us. Wonderful, lovely thing for all of us. Alan and Legia, Carly got them out of the house. You went to the house, right? The new days for the Pops, we miss that prayer meeting out there. That was great. That was a chapter. But God's closed that chapter. We go on. Prayer meetings, and it's all a picture of our lives, right? But in your case, you moving out there, it's this transition you're in. And then what's ahead? God has it. You just want to be in the will of God. Your being here is still a marvel to me. Just how in the world are they here? But for those who don't know any of the backstory, they didn't just come here and say, we're going to go to Providence Chapel. Are you kidding me? And here he is, a shepherd, one who loves you, preaches to you, and leads his love for the brethren in the church. Beautiful. So new days, but a new leading to a new. David and Ebony, new days. Once Quentin went to the army and the family and the dynamics of the family, David and Ebony and their family, it's been new. It's been fresh. It's been different. Quentin's gone on in his manhood. Quentin's gone on in that chapter. Now they're having these days as a family. It's profitable and good. James and Elizabeth, a new job. If you hadn't heard James tell the story of the job, it's a beautiful testimony. God did it. God did it. There's no way you can say you didn't open that door. You didn't. God did it. You keep doing that. You keep thinking that way. Then you go back and say, then I didn't find my spouse, or I didn't. God does it. God takes his children. He leads his children along, some through the waters, some through the floods. But he leads his children along. He's with them. Ian and Leslie, another job. I'm still amazed that you're here. I love having y'all here. It's fun to come over. But just how God did that. You came here, your skill sets, what God's doing, his blessing, Leslie's joy in it, you just feel y'all's friendship and love together. Just wonderful. Brother Ford Parker, I don't think he's here today. Ford's got a lot to share. That brother's got a lot of octane in him. I like being around him. But he's here, he's new, new to the church. And he's engaged, getting married in March, right? So that guy's on overload right now. Whew! He got a lot of thinking on his mind right now. But I look forward to more days with Ford and his new bride one day. Bailey and Lauren, they're not here today. It's fun getting to know them. Their life, they're as a young couple, man, I look at them and it's my mind goes back to some of the early years of our marriage. And I see in Bailey and Lauren just that these new days, new years, new work. And they're here, they're in the church. And for those of you, as I wind down, I know I'm gone extra long. Thanks for bearing with me. But as I finish some other names, those of you who are new here, whatever God has for you, get it all. If you're here with us a year or 20 years, take all of it that God gives you. We're not talking about a toe in the water. Dive in. Give yourself, give and receive in Christ's people according to his word, what he has. We're not just a sampling church. You just don't take a few samples like you do at Sam's and then leave, okay? If you want to do that at Sam's, you can. It's fine. Go do that at Sam's. But that's not how we function here. We want you to partake. We want you to eat feast upon Christ and all that he gives us, because he's the great one. He's the preeminent one. So if you're here, give of yourself. We need what you have. And so that's true of Ford and Bailey and Lauren. And others I'll mention here in a minute. Jake and Esther, the new for you was you moved to a place that was closer. Your job moved you, so you were right close to work. Now you're going to be buying another place. So new goes to new. But God leads his children along. God takes care of us through every day. And it's beautiful to see you as a family unit going on with him. Beloved, our moves, where we live, those details are according to his will. We want his will to be done. We don't do that in the strength of our own. The Lord taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. What does it say he takes pleasure in? Those that fear him and those that trust in him. He'll show us. Buying a car, buying a house, whatever. You young people, do I go to college? What do I do? Let God lead you. And he will confirm it through the mouth of witnesses in his own way, in his own time. Trust him. Bruce and Marie, here in our church. We didn't go find you. You didn't go find us, per se. But God brought you here. And we're grateful. Sponge it up. Live it. Walk with God. Love Christ. Partake of all that he has for you. Because he feeds his flock at the personal level. He feeds us. Michael Templeton, new days here. I know he's not here today. He's probably traveled with family. But Micah's new. Another one of these young men. Time for him to grow, be sharpened, and learn, and be influence for what's ahead in his life. Unha's back there. Converted in April. Brought into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ by his great mercy. And now being here is a part of us. You're from another part of the whole part of the world. And you're living in our world. You're with us, but there is one kingdom. It's the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one people unto God. We're not fragmented. We're his. And we're glad you're here. We want you to grow and learn and come along in the faith. Prisca, 2 years ago, you were going to move to Texas. Come on now. I mean, everybody, we kind of think everybody should move to Texas, right? We like Texas, born and raised here. But Prisca, you're here in the will of God. God's done it. Trust him. Look to him. Let him order your steps. Sometimes he takes us through the bigger steps and we say, God did that. And then we get to the smaller steps and we just fret over it. Wait a minute here. If God takes care of the big steps, can he not take care of the detail? Yes. We're glad you're here in Texas. And Jennifer. Now, Jennifer's from Colorado. How did Jennifer find us? Come on now. Don and Cindy Curran brought her to us and said, here you go. Here's Jennifer. She would laugh. She was kind of like that. And now she's here, and she's learning the gospel of grace more and more, how to live it, how to walk together. You talk about a paradigm shift. Wow. Just in the glories of the gospel and living the Christian life. Oh, beloved. I could go on and on. We could pause, take a 10-minute break, and somebody else could come up here and speak for 15 minutes. Because it ought to stir our hearts. It's just the love and the acknowledgement God has us. He is our keeper. And he is with us. And he is with you. And children, it should teach you to put your trust in God. Your life, whether you're 6 or 9 or 12, or whatever, your life is his. One day you'll be sharing these kinds of stories. I'll be long gone. I'll be in heaven with Jesus. But you children should hear me today. And let your lives be surrendered to him. I surrender all. And God is good. That's one of Alan's statements. He uses a lot. And I like you using it. God is good. And he will do good for us all the days of our life. He has our days. We can trust him for what lies ahead. We have 2 days left in this calendar year, the Lord willing, and then we start a new one. But we can trust him. Let me finish, read this verse again, and then I'll pray. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Let me pray. Father, thank you for such mercy and care for us this year. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who carries us through the hard days, that our foot will not stumble, won't move. Thank you, Lord, that you're our covering. You give joy. You give protection. Thank you, Lord, you're the one that guides us, that you lead us, you preserve us. Thank you, Lord, that you're the one who gives us days that are new. New for us, but all a part of your plan. Blessed be the Lord today and forever. Thank you for the Lord. Jesus Christ, our Savior, the chief shepherd over this flock, the one who deserves all the glory and praise. Thank you, Lord, through him. Amen.